Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be his kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known. From you there are no secrets hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us pray. O God, you have taught us to keep all your commandments by loving you and our neighbor. Grant us the grace of your Holy Spirit that we may be devoted to you with our whole heart and united to one another with pure affection. We pray this through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
A reading from the prophet Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her, all you who love her, rejoice with her in joy, and all you who mourn over her, that you may nurse and be satisfied. From her consoling breast, that you may drink deeply with delight from her glorious bosom. For thus says the Lord, I will extend prosperity to her like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. And you shall nurse and be carried on her arm and dandled on her knee. As a mother comforts her child, I will so comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. You shall see, and your heart shall rejoice. Your bodies shall flourish like the grass, and it shall be known that the hand of the Lord is with his servants, and his indignation is against his enemies. The word of the Lord.
Make the voice of his praise to be heard.
A reading from the letter to the Galatians. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for you reap whatever you sow. If you sow to your own flesh, you will reap corruption from the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith. See what large letters I make when I am writing in my own hand? It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh that try to compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. Even the circumcised do not themselves obey the law, but they want you to be circumcised so that they may boast about your flesh. May I never boast of anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is anything, but a new creation is everything. As for those who will follow this rule, peace be upon them and mercy and upon Israel of God. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
The Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into the streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings to our feet we wipe off in protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me. And whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me. Now the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us. He said to them, I have watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and on scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy. And nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus sent those 70 or 72 out, and he said, when you get to a house, say to the house, peace be on you, and your peace will rest on that place. I speak to you in the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Dandled. Who knew that word before today? Dandled? Who dandles a baby? Don, I'm sorry. It's like a curveball right out of the Isaiah there. Yeah, I learned about it. I asked everybody at the 7:30 service, what does dandle a baby mean? And one of the people in the service, he had a whole song that went along with it, bouncing on the knee with cheeks and stuff like that. I told him that Casey would learn it and we'd figure it out. So, dandled. You never know what you're going to get when you read the gospel. It's something new comes your way. So when I was ordained, what I learned very quickly, what happened was that people came out of the woodwork, people that were usually my age or so, and they wanted me to do their wedding because, like, they had stopped going to church at some point, and here was somebody in their life they knew who could, like, still host this thing that they're loosely a part of and do a wedding. And I've done several of these. Sometimes I just say, I don't think I am, what I have to offer is what you're looking for. But the last time I did one of these, this old friend came out and said, you know, my fiance and I are getting married later next summer. And this was the spring. And so it was this coming summer. And he said, would you be willing? Gave me the date. I looked it up and I had it free. And so I planned to do this wedding, and I said, since we're close friends, what I'm going to do is I'm going to send you to somebody else to do the premarital counseling, and then you and I will talk about the liturgy stuff. And so I got together with him and his fiance. This is late on. It's like late May at this point. The wedding's in July. And they're telling me about their wedding and what they're planning to do, and they mention a boat. I said, wait. Because they just kept, have you ever been in a conversation where somebody said something and just moves on past like it's nothing, right? I said, well, let me stop you right there. So it turns out the wedding was in Florida, and that I was needing to find airfare down to Tampa. We took care of it. Have you ever been on a wedding on a boat? It's fine, except for the rehearsal, which was in the dock in the bay there. And so, like, you know, I'm like doing the rehearsal. I'm like, God, just don't throw up on the Bible here in front of them. But it was great. We did the wedding and all was good. This happens to me a lot. Another wedding I did was for a friend's sister, and it was in Maryland. And the friends, they lived in Texas, and the wedding was in Maryland. So the husband, the groom, his family grew up in Maryland. The bride was from Texas but was living in Louisiana. And everybody sort of converged on Chattanooga. Then we drove up to Maryland for this wedding. And we get there, and it was this weird grouping of folks, are people that you wouldn't normally put together. There were these very Texan type folks who came to this thing. And then there were these sort of mid-Atlanticers who were really sort of refined and buttoned up. And it was an odd, and of course, the the discourse, the political discourse was a little bit strange. The theological discourse was a little bit strange. Everything was. And so what I learned quickly doing weddings, and I tell people all the time, I think I would rather do a funeral than a wedding. Because weddings are just, there are all these little like bombs that are there that you can, these landmines that you can step on. There's a lot of dynamics that are going on if you're not careful. And so oftentimes as a priest, you're just trying to keep the two mother-in-laws from fighting with each other. That's kind of what your job is at the wedding. And so, you're creating the peace. And so this wedding, it was a mission of peace in many ways. That was my role. And I think my friends who asked me to do it, they said as much. They said, you know, this is going to be strange. These groups of people aren't used to each other, and we kind of need a buffer person to make sure that people understand the purpose for which we've gotten together, which is to celebrate the love of these two folks. The gospel lesson today in Luke, it's a mission. It's a mission within a mission. It's a mission within a journey. Jesus, after having sent out the 12, now sends out 70 or 72, depending on which translation you look at. A number that most certainly symbolizes in some way the greater community that Jesus is trying to create. Moses had ordained 70 elders. And so Jesus is stepping into this Moses role and sending out, and the word for sending out in the Gospel of Luke there is the word that we get apostle from, apostolos. So it's sending with a message. And the message that Jesus sends, it's twofold. One is peace. Peace. I bring peace. And it's a tangible thing. It's like I rest my peace on this place. And for some reason, if it's not accepted, it's not lost. It comes right back to me, right? And the second part of the mission is that God, the very divine kingdom of God, has come near. God has come near to you. What's interesting is that Jesus sends them sort of empty-handed. I don't know if you noticed that. No extra sandals, no staff, no extra food, no money, no bag. Just themselves. And the reason that that is particularly interesting, you have to know a little bit of geography and history here, is that Jesus at this point is sending them into Samaria, which is modern day big chunk of the West Bank, right up against the Jordan River there. And Samaria, if you remember the story of the Good Samaritan in Luke, right, the parable of the Good Samaritan. And the Good Samaritan is somebody that that is a good neighbor to the person who has fallen ill and been beaten on the roadside there. And this is uncharacteristic of the Samaritan, because Samaritans are people, as far as the Jews are concerned, who have rejected the true teachings of Torah. And so there's a lot of animosity between these two groups. And not to bore you too much with the history, but it's something like, you know, in the history of Israel, there have been these two great displacement events in their history, one in the 8th century B.C. and one in the 5th century B.C., where Assyria and then Babylon came in and sort of wrecked the place. And what had happened was there was this little group in the West Bank, in the modern-day West Bank, who had maintained, who had kept hold of what they thought were the true sort of interpretations of Torah. And then there were new folks who had come in, and other people had come back from exile and reclaimed the traditions, and they were interpreting those traditions differently. And both groups had gotten so mad and fed up with each other that at this point they were saying, both groups were saying, don't talk to those people and don't talk to those people. That's where we're at. Nothing like the United States today. Right. So Jesus is sending his 70 folks into this place, which presumably is hostile, and doing it, and that's the whole reason Jesus says something like, greet no one on the road, because you don't want to put yourself at risk. You want to find yourselves among the hospitality, that's where you will find peace, in receiving the hospitality of folks and house to house. The reason that I brought up that wedding is this gospel message reminds me of that wedding that I did. And the reason is not because of the power of peace that I brought to that place, but my friends, Will and Courtney, who live in Houston, sacrificed. So these people, they have a week-long vacation every year. And it was about a week of driving to get to Chattanooga. And then, so they gave that up with their two children to come and do this wedding. They're the people who brought a lot of the refreshments, who made the cake, made a lot of the food, hosted a lot of, not the physical place, but a lot of the hospitality and stuff that happened there. They were responsible for that. And they sort of gave up their week to do that. And what's particularly interesting about that and special about that is that this wedding, it was a Christian affair. It was a, and I evoked with no problem whatsoever the name of Jesus several times when I was doing that wedding. Courtney grew up in a household that when she was going through some issues with her own self and her self-identity, was a part of a Christian community that was really damaging to her and that transition of her life. So damaging, such toxic theology, that now at this juncture in her adult life, the name Jesus itself evokes for her a lot of pain and trauma. And so for all intents and purposes, she's rejected that religiosity in general, Christianity specifically. But she showed up in this place. And I think what this gospel message is about is how we are called with this message of peace and that God has come near to us despite our differences, despite the fact that in this world, we are called enemies. A lot of the fights, a lot of the animosity that exists between us, I think, in our own culture has to do with power, as far as I can tell. Maybe money, but also power. And when Jesus says to the 70 that go out there, tell folks that the kingdom of God has come near, that's a power statement. That's a power statement. Kingdom, the word kingdom brings with it the notion that power comes forth from this establishment. And that power that Jesus is talking about is wrapped up with peace and vulnerability of going into this place. Courtney was able to do that. She was able to put her stuff aside for that entire week and move into that place with a lot of grace. And I think this is how God and Christ and Jesus enters into our world all the time, and acts of humility over conversations at dinner tables, on assembly lines, across picket lines sometimes, in unexpected places, in carpools, at school board meetings, that in these vulnerable, weird moments, that sometimes people are able to surrender their own sort of ideas about how the world should work for the sake of peace, knowing that the kingdom of God has come near. So we come to this room every Sunday, and we gather around that table, right, which we call Jesus's table. And we hope and we wonder how that table brings us closer to God, to each other, and to this world. And a big part of that, something that we do every Sunday, is we pass peace, because peace is a part of that. And sometimes it's easy to mistake what we do here for the mission of peace. And this is only a part of the mission of peace. This is where we learn about. This is where we open our hearts to. This is where we gain knowledge for. This is where we are empowered for the mission of peace. Jesus sends the 70 out, just like he sends us out, ahead of himself, into the dark and difficult places, into places where there's animosity, ahead of himself. Not with our tools of power and self-righteousness and our staves and our money and whatever it is that, but just with ourselves, with our willingness to be in hospitable situations with folks, to promise peace, right? That's the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I think it's Martin Luther who writes a lot about the gospel of glory versus the gospel of the cross. And he says it's really easy to mistake the two. But we do not have a gospel of glory. We have a gospel of the cross. That is a surrender of ourselves for folks in this world, especially folks who are more vulnerable than us. Courtney, turns out, and I didn't learn this until much later, had gotten some news as she was heading up to Maryland. There was a growth in her throat, and everybody assumed that that was benign, but her doctor called and said it was actually cancer. She told no one except for her husband and one other person, I think her mother. She safeguarded the peace and the love and the joy of that week. This is how Christ enters into our world, through the unassuming folks, people who don't even necessarily proclaim the name of Jesus, but who are willing to sort of sacrifice themselves for love and for peace and for joy, for connectedness. We live in a world that is demanding, that is crying out for folks who aren't ready to be the weapon in some sort of ideological cause. We are living in a world that is crying out for people who are ready to show up with tangible peace, with the trust that that peace will keep them safe, and or if for some reason that peace is returned to them, they simply walk away and rub the dust off their feet because they are armed with the knowledge, knowing with certainty, and this is what the gospel tells us, that God, God's self, has come near to us, that the kingdom of God is at hand. Amen. I invite you to kneel or to stand as you are able for the prayers of the people.
We pray for all people. We pray for justice and for peace.
We pray especially for the nations of Colombia and the Philippines, for Ukraine.
We pray for communities of faith, especially for this community. We pray for those in need, trouble, or in poor health. We especially pray for Jim,
J.R.
and Courtney,
Pat,
Gail,
Priscilla,
Greg,
Cindy,
Joycey,
Kelly,
Barry,
Pete,
Kat,
Xavier,
Becky,
Alexander,
Terry,
Dale,
Peter,
Marianne,
Kelly,
Holly,
John
and Janice,
Nicole,
family of
Leanne Hampton,
Paula,
Margaret,
Jacqueline,
John and Jenny,
Zach,
Steve,
Kyle,
Richard,
Bonnie,
Amy,
Lori,
Cheryl,
the Alley
family,
Christina,
Cheryl,
Jimmy
and Dale,
Afton
and Baby Ronan,
Randy
and Eddie,
Bill,
Woody,
and Lainey.
We pray for those who have died.
Especially for Pam Lewis.
We pray with thankful hearts for the many gifts and blessings of life.
For the people who love and worship here. Almighty and eternal God, ruler of all things in heaven and on earth, mercifully accept the prayers of your people and strengthen us to do your will. We pray this through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Now let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought,
word, and deed,
by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may be blind in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. Please stand. Friends, the peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Are you, John?
Good.
Just a couple of things to share. One is that July 17th, Sunday, July 17th, we will host a parish forum. There will be a lunch, food here, maybe pie. There's going to be some stuff. Please mark your calendars to come and be a part of that. The vestry is currently working in teams of two to think about potential contingencies on how we move forward together as a parish. They need to talk to you about that. And so based on that conversation, they can make some decisions that are really important for our parish. So please, July 17th, plan to be here and be a part of that. Thank you, I must say, to all the folks who make, in the hot heat, these grounds beautiful. I could start naming folks, but there are a lot of people here who come out here and they mow and they water flowers and they trim back things. And so thank you, a big thank you to folks who are keeping our grounds at this time. I need to invite Zachary to come here. Did he leave? Is he hiding? Oh, there he is. Zachary turns 27 today. Is it 12? 12. Okay. So what we're all going to do is we're going to say a prayer for you. Is that okay? Let me grab my prayer book so I can get everybody on the same page here. So in your red book of common prayer, if you start moving towards the 800s, and turn to 830. And we're going to say together prayer number 50. And this is Zachary. But we're going to pray for him as Zach. Is that right? Okay. So I'm going to lay a hand on him. And we're all going to pray together. Oh God, our times are in your hand. Look with favor, we pray, on your servant Zach. As he begins another year,
grant that he may grow in wisdom and grace and strengthen his trust in your goodness all the days of his life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Can I do a blessing on you? May God bless you and may God keep you. May God to make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you this day and forevermore. Amen. Yay. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us in an offering and a sacrifice to the Most High.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. For you are the source of light and life. You made us in your image and called us to new life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant. It is shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also, that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, by him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. These are the gifts of God for you, the people of God. Come taste and see that God is good. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. Friends, go forth into the world in peace and be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen those who are hearted and support folks in need. And the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you this day and remain with you always. Amen. Now let us go forth into the world to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You can hallelujah all you want if you want to. It's fine.